This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We're following the collapse of a massive bridge in Baltimore overnight. A major portion of a 1.5-mile bridge in Baltimore collapsed in the early morning hours today after a container ship struck it. Officials believe at least 7 people were in vehicles that fell off the Francis Scott Key Bridge into the Patapsco River, which is the route in and out of the port of Baltimore. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
A live stream camera captured the moment a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge above Baltimore Harbor. The video shows the structure quickly crumbling and cars falling into the water. Baltimore City Fire Chief James Wallace said the first emergency call came in at around 1:40 a.m.
We are still very much in an active search and rescue posture at this point, and we will continue to be for some time. We have a large area that we have to search. This includes on the surface of the water, subsurface, as well as on the deck of the ship itself.
The bridge is a major corridor across Baltimore Harbor, which itself is the route container ships take into Baltimore's port, one of the busiest along the East Coast. According to state officials, it handles the largest number of auto and light truck imports of any U.S. port. Maryland's Transportation Secretary Paul Wiedefeld said vessel traffic in and out of the port was suspended, and he was too early to determine when it might resume. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The cargo ship was registered in Singapore. The White House is saying it sees no sign of nefarious intent. So Port of Baltimore, number one for importing cars. It's also ranked first for farm and construction machinery, as well as sugar and gypsum for wallboard. 37,000 jobs in the region are linked to port operations. The bridge, part of the Baltimore Beltway, carried 14,000 vehicles each day. More economic and historical context to help understand the current crisis in Haiti, where armed gangs have expanded their control from the capital and beyond. Thousands have died. Hundreds of thousands have been displaced. Since 1804, Haiti has been a sovereign nation in theory, but outside actors have long used the country for their own gain. After Haiti won independence from French colonial rule, Haiti was hit with an onerous indemnity, seen as a kind of restitution, a condition of its hard-fought independence. Now, many other factors also contributed to poverty and instability in Haiti, but today a conversation about a path forward. Malik Gatcham is a professor of history at MIT with a special interest in Haiti, who argues real sovereignty for Haiti is a key requirement. He spoke with our Sabri Benishour.
So you have a country that is born into debt. Foreign debt guides how foreign powers enter and occupy this country. What imprint has that left on the political system that we see today?
It's made it very difficult for the Haitian state to develop as a state that serves the needs of its people, because for a very long period of time, the Haitian state that began developing in the 19th century and into the 20th century was designed primarily to sort of funnel wealth, the very limited wealth that Haitians had access to funnel that outside of the country, and in particular in repayment of this massive financial indemnity. I think the challenge today for foreign powers that are looking to help Haiti is to consider ways that actually support Haitian sovereignty as opposed to undermine it.
So if the sort of Haitian political economy has arisen basically as a way of a method or a system of extraction, how do you change that today? What does that look like?
I think the challenge for outside powers that are looking to help Haiti is to think about strategies that again, do not actually undermine Haitian sovereignty, but promote it. And I think one area that can be considered has to do with the international monetary system. One way in which we can try to promote Haitian sovereignty over its money and economy is by thinking of ways to strengthen the Haitian bank and the Haitian currency so that the Haitian people have a money that has purchasing power, meaningful purchasing power for them, that is not vulnerable to swings in the value of the dollar, that is not vulnerable to the Federal Reserve's inflation targeting strategies. All of these things will require some sacrifice on the part of the United States and other countries. But it seems to me that without that sacrifice, there's no way to exit this kind of zero-sum game we've been in for a very long period of time, in which foreign powers take steps to advance their own interests at the expense of the Haitian people.
If no one is in charge in Haiti now to orchestrate that sort of package of solutions, what has to happen for that to change?
Well, this is where some observers are seeing a silver lining in what is clearly a desperate and tragic situation. The almost total collapse of the Haitian state right now does give Haitians an opportunity to rebuild something in its place that better serves their needs without foreign intervention. And that's going to take some time. That's going to be a very difficult process. But if it's given a chance to succeed, it will allow Haitians to put in place, starting with a new round of democratic elections, a state that actually responds to their needs and that is not vulnerable to these outside interventions that in some subtle and sometimes not so subtle ways actually reflect decision-making by the United States, by France, by Canada, as we've seen over a very long period. So there's no easy answers here. There's no panacea to this. There's a lot of things that Haitians themselves are going to have to figure out. And I think part of the challenge for the international community is simply allowing Haitians to figure those things out for themselves. And I think that's what many Haitians crave, even in this very scary time.
Malik Gachem is a professor of history at MIT. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks, Sabri. Teachable moment there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.